Welcome all to our second installment of the Walker League Fantasy Football Podcast. I am joined today, I being Flynn Walker, I'm joined today by Sky Walker, Aaron Walker, and Duggan Walker, who may or may not speak very much since he is currently in, I think, West. Are you still in Western Australia, Dobby?
No, I'm in New Zealand, Auckland.
Oh, he's in New
Zealand. Yeah, that's why there's that propagation delay. It takes him a really long time.
That actually might be an issue that I have to edit out later. But this podcast is just going to be a really quick preview of Week 14 games and playoff scenarios. We plan to do a more full playoff picture and playoff preview one next week, assuming that we have the energy and time to do so. But Aaron has done such wonderful write-ups for each league of what the different playoff scenarios are, and there are a lot of them this year. So we figured it could be fun to just go over each of them and put a sort of oral version for people to listen to if they felt like it. So with that, we will hop into the DFFL, and we will try to reference our team names as we speak so people know who is who. With that, Aaron, or I guess Sky, do you want to talk about how the divisions are looking like for the DFFL?
Yeah, sure. So this is Sky, the next generation. Though at this point, kind of just the current generation? Unclear. Anyway, DFFL, in terms of divisions, Mirage has already been set. Nomad winning the Mirage, three games ahead of the Offenders, so that one hasn't been close for a while. And then the Nightmare Division, bunch of mediocrity there. We have got the Hitters in the Soak 7-6 each, and Pat's Lads and Vanilla Thunder each at 6-7. Basically, the way it currently works is obviously if Hitters or Soaks win, the other one loses, then whoever won will take the division. Pretty straightforward, right? The Lads have a chance still if both Hitters and Soaks lose. And remember, everybody, this is within the division, right? So it's the same division. So Hitters and Soaks are going to be playing the Lads and the Thunder. So you have these 7-6 teams playing 6-7. So the only person that's completely out is Thunder. They have no chance of winning the division at this point. Basically, Hitters and Soaks, if one of them wins, the other one loses, then they'll win the division. If they both lose, then Pat's Lads will win the division at a sterling 7-7. And then for the Dream Division, we've got the Reavers who are already in the playoffs, but they have not yet won the division. If they win, they win the division. If the Heads win, then I believe the winner of Stranglers Next Gen will take the division at that point.
That's correct.
So, yeah, so Reavers 2-3 in division. So even though they're leading it, they're kind of weak on the tie breaks, and a loss to the Heads would put them at 2-4 in the division, so they'd get passed by the winner of Stranglers and Next Gen. So that's where the divisions stand. And then Wild Card is a little bit crazy. So there's actually a chance here that all three Wild Card teams come from the Dream, which would be pretty insane. But the way it shakes out is, again, Mirage, Nomad won the division. Nobody else from Mirage has a chance. So it really comes down to Dream and Nightmare. And the way it works right now, Stranglers and Next Gen, whoever wins that game will have, they could win the division, but they will have a wild card. Reavers either win the division or they have a wild card. So they're sort of, one of the wild cards is going to be Reavers and the winner of Stranglers Next
Gen.
The loser of Stranglers and Next Gen still have a chance to make it. Stranglers need the Heads to lose, or the Soaks to lose, or the Hitters to lose. So they just need one of those three 7-6 teams to lose. And the next gen needs the same thing. They just got to, if they lose, they still get in with a Heads loss, Soaks loss, or Hitters loss, right? So both Stranglers and Next Gen, if at least one of those other three teams loses, they're both in to the wild card at least. The Heads need to win to make the wild card, or if they lose, they need the Hitters to lose. They lose the tiebreak with the Soaks, so a win there, and a Hitters win and a Soaks win, and they would be out, I believe. And then finally, the Soaks need to win and have the Hitters also win. Hitters would take the division in that case, but the Soaks would take the wild card. So that's their only path to the wild card. Of course, if they win and the Hitters lose, they'll just win the division, but their only chance of the wild card is for both them and the Hitters to win. And Pat's Lads still has a chance to sort of backdoor their way in. They need to win and have the Heads and Soaks both lose.
Yeah, so what are we looking at as the most likely scenarios here, I guess, to kind of sum it up?
Probably the most likely is that Stranglers and Next Gen are in, and then I would guess the winner of, what is it, Lads Hitters? Lads Soaks?
Lads Soaks.
Yeah, probably Hitters have the edge in their matchup, and if they win, then the winners of Lads Soaks, well, actually, if the Lads won, then the Hitters would be the third wild card, but likely, like the most likely scenario is we're going to move three teams from the Dream and two from the Nightmare is what I'd say.
That means you have faith in me beating the Heads.
Maybe misplaced, I admit, but and believe me, I'd like you to lose. I'm going to be cheering against you quite a bit, but it just seems like that's where we're going to end up.
Yeah, I think it certainly is. It certainly at this point looks like we'll have two. We know we're going to have two from the Dream. Okay, it's almost, I mean, I don't even think there's a way we could not have two from the Dream. So the question is the third team from the Dream or from the Nightmare? The simplest case is if the Heads beat the Reavers, then the Heads get a wild card, the Reavers get a wild card, the winner of the Stranglers of the Next Gen wins the division, and the loser gets a wild card if either the Hitters or the Soaks lose. So, you know, that wild three teams from one division is still a strong possibility. I prefer that not happen, because I prefer the Reavers to win the division.
Are there any teams that are facing bye week issues this week that are notable?
I don't know. I mean, I know we have a lot of byes, but I haven't actually checked that.
Whoever's got Justin Fields?
It's kind of silly to have six teams on bye in week 14. Doesn't the NFL think about fantasy football when they put the schedule together?
Apparently not.
You think they would by now with how widespread it is?
I mean, it's not like week 14 is inherently any more valuable or less valuable than any other weeks before this, right?
Some people started the playoffs. Some leagues.
Well, they're wrong.
I know, but
that's a good point, Flynn. That's a good point.
And they had no buys over Thanksgiving weekend. So.
I mean, I think we were talking about this earlier today. I think the biggest thing is Cowboys play the Texans this week. Pollard owners, Zeke owners, and Cowboy defense owners got to be licking their lips.
And Sky is not at all biased in that.
Yeah, it's not like I got Pollard and the Cowboys defense. And Aaron, who's that you got in there? Zeke? Is that right?
I think I have Zeke, and I think this is one of the weeks I'll actually start him.
Any final notes here on the W before we shift over to, D before we shift over to the W?
I just know we didn't mention it. We didn't mention who wins the Nightmare if both the Soaks and the Hitters win.
Yeah, no, that's...
Anywhere.
If both Soaks and Hitters win.
Hitters does. Yeah,
Hitters do.
Oh, I know. Yeah, the hitters control their fate. Oh, I'm sorry, you wanted just to say that out loud.
Yeah, we just wanted to make it really clear that he's special. That's what he
exactly.
wanted.
Ed Dobbs, congrats on that 8-6 record.
Yeah, really, you're really the class of... See, Dobby in true Tampa fashion, you know, he wants to be the class of the NFC South. And so he wants to win his division at 8-6. So make Brady proud.
Sky's team doesn't have much more to talk about, so, you know.
Nope, Dobby, you're the only shitty
team. We'll get to the Diamonds division, the W, in a second, so can't blame Dobby too much.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Anyway, on to the WFFL. Aaron, do you want to talk us through the division leaders for this one?
Sure. So starting in the spades, the Islanders, despite their insane matrix over-under numbers, I believe we decided they are plus 262 against the Matrix.
All-time luckiest team right now.
All-time luckiest team right now. They're number seven in the Matrix. But they are 10-3. They have locked up not just their division, but home field for the playoffs. They have a two-game lead on the rest of the league. So the Spades, kind of a done deal. Moving on to the Hearts, Mons is actually in pretty good shape. Mons, Flush, and Attack all won. So it's not done, but Mons and the Attack play each other. So if the Mons wins the game, they win the division. If the Attack wins the game, they win the division if the Flush loses, but the Flush is playing Mindhunter, so they're going to win, in which case the Flush in that situation would win the division.
But not so fast, because the Flush has Jonathan Taylor on bye.
Yes.
And his running backs currently are Jamichael Hasty, Ty Johnson, and Devin Singletary.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, it's all back up in the air. On the other hand, Mindhunter, I believe, has to play Tannehill as their quarterback this week, so they're basically screwed.
Never heard of him.
No doubt. Then we move on to everyone's favorite division, the Diamonds. Once highly touted, the top set of teams. They were going to be great. They were all high in the matrix. That is not so true anymore. The Chameleons lead the division. They are playing the Chews, who also lead the division or are a half game back because of the tiebreaker. So that one is very simply whoever wins that game wins the division. Cut and dry. Please don't get a tie. That screws up all my calculations.
I think Flynn gets it in the tie because he has the divisional record.
Let's see, because if you win, and yeah, because then he'd be 4-1-1 and you'd be 3-2-1 in division. So,
or we'd be 4-2. In fact, Flynn would be 4-1-1.
Hi, here we come.
Yeah, so the Chameleons just need a tie to win the division.
For the record, some of us still are high up in the matrix.
Yeah, some of us not so much.
Oh, Dave's peanut chews have Zeke and Pollard against me this week. So,
oh, wow.
Meanwhile, my Karma Chameleons has Lamar injured, Kamara on bye, Kenneth Walker injured, Taysom Hill on bye, and David Njoku injured.
Oh, so, well, without Taysom Hill, you're done.
Well, you know, having him is helpful if you don't have David Njoku.
Fair enough.
I would point out, by the way, that our three division leaders currently are 7th, 9th, and 10th in the Matrix.
That is pretty amazing.
That's playing to win, baby.
That is truly amazing. So, yeah, congratulations to the Chews. You will be taking the diamond title, it looks like. As for the bye weeks, obviously the Islanders have the top seed and the bye. Mons is on track to get the number two spot. If they were to lose, depending on who wins that, it'd be the Chameleons. If the Chews beat the Chameleons, then I think the Flush beat the Chews. Nope, the Flush lost to the Chews, so that would put the Chews in the number two spot. The Attack lost to the Chews. So yes, the Chews would actually be the number two if Mons does not win their game. It'll be the Diamonds division winner.
Those would be the Chews. Well, so the Chameleon is losing, Aaron, I think, eliminates you from wild card, right?
Well, let's give us a wild card then.
So wild card. Let's see. The Dogs are in as a wild card. They're 8-5. Even if they were to lose somehow magically to the Plundering Herd, who it is worth calling out as having the worst record ever in the WHFL. Sorry, Bob. But the Dogs are in the wild card. So Mons, if they don't win their division, then they will have a wild card unless they get blown out. There's a 12-point differential between them and the Attack. And so they would have to get blown out by the Attack and have the Flush win for them not to at least make the wild card.
And have the Bills win.
And have the Bills win, yes. The Bills need a win, or if the Bills lose, a loss by the Flush or by Wooft would give them a wild card spot. After that, it gets a little trickier. The Flush, actually, if they win, then they're in one way or the other. So if the Flush win their game, either they win the division, or if they don't, then they get the wild card. The Attack, if they win by at least 12 points and the Flush wins, then the Flush would win the division. The Attack would be second in the division and get the wild card. For Wooft to make it in, they have to beat the Legion, and they need two of the Bills, Flush, or Attack to lose, and then they get the wild card. And finally, the Legion theoretically could still make it in if they win and the Chews, Flush, and Attack all lose. Sort of a long shot at this point, but I'll hang on to it for as long as I can.
So is loser of Chameleons Chews out altogether?
I believe so.
Interesting.
Because loser of Chameleons Chews is 7-7, and they lose the tiebreaker. If it's the Chews, then they lose to one of us, right? And if it's the Chameleons, I believe they lose the tiebreaker to the wildcard tiebreaker to whoever the tiebreaker would have been in the Hearts division.
That would be the Flush. In that case, a flush and Attack with loss.
Right.
Okay, well, since my team is inevitably screwed here, I will be cheering for the Attack to make my midseason predictions correct, who, incidentally, have gained the number one Matrix rank on the year. So congrats to the Attack for, putting it all together and hopefully making a nice run here.
Speaking of which, there is a not too outlandish scenario in which the top three teams in the Matrix could all miss the playoffs.
the attack, the Bills, and
you. That would be Washington University football team, in case people didn't recognize the voice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's unlikely. I think it's unlikely that the Bills don't make it, but it's certainly possible.
Yeah, and we will cross that bridge next week once we have some concrete data one way or the other. And with that, we will slide over to the FFPL, where we have scenarios on scenarios on scenarios.
Do we have to go to the FFPL? Can't we just stop here?
Well, I know you really wanted to talk about the relegation playoff here. You have such passion for it. So
absolutely.
I don't want to take the opportunity away from you.
Mm-hmm. Gee, thanks.
Why don't you talk about our scenarios here, Aaron?
Okay. Let us talk about the FFPL. First of all, here we will, of course, start in the Orc Division, where all good things do start.
And die.
The three of the top five teams in the Matrix still are, in fact, in the Orc Division, despite my performance. The most important part, however, is that the Hampton Has-Beens and Boomy Boys are both 9-4. And conveniently, they play each other this week. So the top two records in the league, the winner of that game wins the division. The winner of that game will be the top seed. The loser of that game still will be the top wild card. That's kind of easy for the Orcs.
Flynn, you got two winner-take-all division games this week.
Yeah, well, I feel a little better at one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one where you're in the playoffs no matter what is what you feel good about.
Well, the one where I'm in the playoffs and I have the top matrix and I have Dallas defense.
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
You know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to look at the Wizards. In the Wizards division, Los Polos Hermanos and Yerby Yetis both have 7-6. However, they do not play each other. So Hermanos basically just needs a win at One Direction to lock up the division. If they fail to get that victory, then the Yetis and the Sith Lords are playing each other. The winner of that game would step in and take the division title. The cleanest division, of course, is the Dragon Division. Free the Nip is 8-5. They locked up the division with their win this week and seem happy to be sitting there and not having to play for anything. Free the Nip is currently the number two seed. They could fall out of that if they lose and LPH loses and the Yetis win, then the Yetis would actually slide up into the number two seed. Then we get into the joy that is the wild card picture.
So fun!
The wild card picture in this one is really pretty funny, actually. So, as we already said, one of the wild cards we know comes from the Orc Division. The other two wild card spots, if we include the division winner in the Wizard Division, since we, in the race, there are six other teams who are fighting for those two spots. There are four games this week of the six that are involved in that race. So, of the six games we have in the league, one decides the winner of the Orc Division. One has no impact at all on the primary playoffs. It does have impact on the relegation playoffs. That's Free the Nip versus the Chi-Town Hawks. But the other four all have wildcard implications and just generally playoff implications. Boy, is it messy. The simplest case to start with is Hermanos. If they win their game, they win the division. If they lose their game, they still get the wild card unless the Pearls win and the Strippers lose, or the series, the Yetis and the Strippers win. Okay. Very strange combinations happening here. They still have the best chance, obviously, between those two scenarios of winning or of making the playoffs. Next up, we have the series. The series are playing the Leicester Pearls. If the series win their game, they're in the wild card. If they lose the game, they're still a wild card if Hermanos loses and the Strippers lose. If either of those two wins, the series is done. Moving right along, the Yetis. Obviously, there was a scenario we talked about. If they win their game and Hermanos loses, then the Yetis would win their division. Otherwise, if they win their game and Hermanos wins, the Yetis get a wild card. if the Yetis lose, they're done, period. Sith Lords are in a similar situation. If they lose, they're out. If they win and LPH loses, then they get the division. If they win and Hermanos wins, then they're the wild card, unless the series and the strippers both win. The tiebreakers for all this get really, really fun, and you get these arcane combinations. The Pearls, if they lose, they're done. If they win, then they are a wild card, unless Hermanos, the Lords, and the strippers all win, in which case they'd end up the essentially fourth wild card, or the fourth spot there. The strippers still have a chance to get a wild card. In fact, they can be in the top or bottom bracket. If they lose, they're out of the wild card. If they win, then they're in if Hermanos and the Lords win, or if Hermanos loses, but the Yetis and the series win. So there aren't any really good cases where a team can just go, oh, I just want this other team to win, because frequently they have scenarios where there's one scenario, for instance, where the strippers win and this happens and I'm in, and another scenario is where the strippers lose and I'm in. So have fun deciding who to root for this week. I will always be rooting against the strippers because the gorillas are playing them. And we don't even have to talk about the relegation, do we?
It's pretty quick, right?
Yes, it is. It's very clear. And it's clear because, of course, the gorillas currently have the worst record in the league at 4-9. One Direction and the Chaitan Hawks are, it really is, just behind them at 4-8-1. And then we have three teams that are 6-7. So there's a gap there. So those first three teams are all in the relegation playoff. They are all jockeying for who will be worst and who will have the worst seeding. Obviously, the gorillas lose, then they're the 12 seed. If they win and one of the other teams loses, then those two shuffle. If they win and the other two teams both lose, then gorillas move up to 12. Same sort of deal with the Hawks. Currently, if it's, you know, if everybody does the same thing, the gorillas are 10, One Direction is 11, and the Hawks are.
What takes that? So that backwards.
Sorry.
Gorilla 12.
Gorillas are 12. Gorillas are 12. One Direction is 11. Hawks are 10. If they all do the same, if they all end up in the same place, if one of us wins and the other two loses, then everybody is going to shift accordingly. Okay. Now, as of right now, if the Sith Lords lose, they're the number 9 team. So if the season ends today, the Sith Lords are actually in the relegation bracket at currently 6-7. So the Sith Lords, with a win, can win their division. With a loss, then they could drop down. Now, if the Lords win, if the Lords lose, they're in the relegation. If they win, they could win the division or at least be in a wild card, as we said. If the Lords win their game over the Yetis, then if the Strippers lose to the Gorillas, the Strippers are the number 9 team in the relegation bracket. If the Lords win and the Strippers win, then if the Pearls lose, they would slide down into the number 9 spot. If the Lords, Strippers, and Pearls all win, that means that the Lords beat the Yetis, and the Yetis will drop into the number 9 spot. So both the Sith Lords and the Yetterby Yetis, who are facing each other, are actually fighting for a range of going from winning the division to being in the wild card, to being out of the playoffs, to being in the relegation bracket. So that's, in some way, the most important game, or has the widest range of outcome, I guess, in and of itself.
There's a scenario where the winner of that game is the division winner and the loser is in the relegation playoff.
Correct. Yeah. If LPH loses their game, then the winner of that game wins the division and the loser could be in the relegation.
Yeah. And there's sort of all this weird stuff going on in this league overall. I mean, so the strippers obviously can be in both the relegation playoff and in the actual playoff as well. And while it seems at first like a sort of remote possibility, given that they need to win and then also have two other teams win, you know, as like the clearest way for them to do it, the strippers who they need, you know, the strippers and the two teams that they need to win are playing against the 9th, 11th, and 12th Matrix teams, right? So you know, the strippers could super easily end up in the playoff here. Right. And strippers have been coming on super strong recently and now have the number two Matrix on the year. So that could change the outlook of things entirely. And there's other interesting stuff like the, you know, the Sith Lords who, you know, traded Drake London for, I think, through 25 for Stefan Diggs to make a run at the playoffs a few weeks back, and have since gone on a 4-week losing streak and now could, you know, miss the playoffs, now could be in the relegation playoffs. And then you get a team that's as strong as the Lords are in the relegation playoff, and whoever's playing them in the first round is suddenly looking at a fast track to relegation. So a lot of really interesting dynamics at play in the FFPL at the end of this year.
Well, and just revisiting the Matrix for one thing on there is, you mentioned the 9, 10, and 12 teams, right, that the strippers want to have lose. Those are the three teams that are currently in the relegation bracket right now, right? That's the Gorillas, the Hawks, in One Direction. Mm-hmm. The number 11 team in the Matrix currently is the Yetis. Yeah, sorry to have to say that out loud. Woo. So if the Yetis were to lose, the strippers win and the Pearls win, then the Yetis fall, and in fact, the four relegation teams are the four bottom Matrix teams, which I don't think we've actually had happen before.
I really doubt it.
So,
on the plus side, I have Zeke and Pollard against the Texans this weekend. So
fair enough.
Which, of course, makes it even more likely that the Lords, who you are playing against, could get dropped into the losers bracket and really shake things up.
I think it's clear that the people in relegation bracket would prefer to have the Pearls drop down there rather than the strippers or the Lords.
Yes.
Yeah.
As the resident representative of the relegation bracket, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any final notes before we log off here, guys?
Is this our craziest season ever across all three leagues in terms of final week scenarios?
It certainly is in the P. I think it's actually not that crazy in the other two. I mean, I think in the D, where we just have the nightmare division that just keeps flipping back and forth and they keep going, no, we're over 500. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. I think that's a little unusual. But I think, you know, the number of scenarios that we have in the D and the W are not totally out of the range. I think frequently by week, going into week 14, we have one division winner and the other two divisions are still playing for it. Sometimes we have two division winners going in. But I think the P is the craziest one.
Well, I will say it seems a little crazy versus historical because we have three wild cards. We've only had that recently. When there's just one wild card, there's just the number of scenarios was a lot smaller. But as far as division winners, the fact that we have two divisions in the D and one in the W with three different teams win the division going the last week, I think it's a little unusual.
Alrighty. We will leave it there then. Thanks anybody who listened. And hopefully we will be back in your ears next week with a more detailed playoff preview going over individual games and outlooks for odds of all of our playoff teams. Thanks, guys.
excuse me. excuse me. So, you know,